The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. So who's in the mood to rejoice? Good, good. How many of you have seen crocus popping up through the snow today? No? But you know it will happen in about 3 months' time, right? So you have hope and there's something to rejoice in now, knowing that it's going to happen. Now, I would rejoice if someone would like to volunteer to go clean off my car. Boy, you'd see me rejoicing. And do a little shoveling, too. That'd be great. Well, today is Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. It's always the third Sunday of Advent. That's why we lit the pink candle today. It's a reminder to us that even in the midst of Advent, which at least in the Northern Hemisphere can be a kind of a gloomy time, we have to rejoice because we know the truth of the gospel. We know that Christ has come, and we know that he will come again in glory. So we're reminded, even in the midst of professing our sins, to rejoice, to give glory to God. So rejoicing, and I encourage you today to rejoice no matter what happens. It goes along with what I've said before. We're always called to thank God for everything. Because to do that means we have faith and we have hope in the Lord. We're not focusing on ourselves, but we're focusing on what God has promised and what God has fulfilled and is fulfilling in our midst. Today in the readings, we have this beautiful parallel between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we have that wonderful, wonderful reading from Isaiah where he says that the desert will bloom, and that the flowers will bloom abundantly, and the coming of the Messiah will bring about the healing of people. The blind will see, the lame will walk, so forth and so on. That's the promise that Isaiah prophesied in the Old Testament. Well, in the New Testament reading from Matthew, we have the fulfillment of those prophecies, of those promises. And John the Baptist, who is the latest and greatest of the prophets, is asking Jesus, "Is he the one? Are you the one who is prophesied to come?" And Jesus simply responds by saying, "Tell John that the dead are being raised, the lepers are being cleansed, the blind are given their sight back." Now, of course, that was happening in the Old Testament too. The dead were being raised from the dead. But Jesus comes along and does it in a profuse way, an abundant way. But even more than just curing people of their physical illnesses, Jesus brings about the forgiveness of sin. and once and for all destroys the power of sin and death in the world. So he is the fulfillment of all fulfillments. He is the long-promised Messiah who came to free us from the power of sin and death. So right there, there's the reason to rejoice. Even in the midst of our daily struggles and our own sufferings, even in our own joys, we can keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and remember what God has done for us and continues to do for us and promises us if we are faithful. So we're called to practice that rejoicing each and every day. So again, today, in the midst of Advent, we have Gaudete Sunday, a day to consciously rejoice. And it may take some practice. It may take some practice, but like anything else that is really good, we have to keep at it. We have to keep practicing it. And not just for our own sakes, but for the sake of the world. The more we rejoice, the more we are going to be filled with the joy of the Lord, the more we're going to want to share the goodness of the Lord, the more we're going to want to share the good news of salvation that Christ has given to us. So each day when we celebrate the Eucharist or we pray, we're challenged to call to mind what God has done for us and to recommit ourselves to following him faithfully each and every day. So the promise that we hope in really has already happened. Our hope is not just that something good will happen, but it already has happened, and it's already breaking out in our midst, and that's what Jesus was trying to tell the followers of John the Baptist. See, the kingdom is breaking out through my actions here and now, and we, because we have been given the good news of salvation, continue to live out of that breaking out of the kingdom of God. We are the beneficiaries of what Christ has done, and so we've been entrusted with that good news to share with others. And I can't think of a more powerful way to attract people's attention to the good news than through joy, through rejoicing. Now, nobody's going to come to some, sourpuss, as Pope Francis puts it, but we are attracted to joyful people, right? So if we believe in the promises of Christ, if we have that hope, if we have that faith, we need to practice that joy. We need to practice rejoicing so that other people will be attracted to what we know and will want to hear about it. So as you go forth today from this Eucharist, think of how you're going to practice rejoicing. Maybe as your back is hurting, as you're shoveling the driveway, whatever, rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. Believe me, that'll get people's attention. But also in your own families, among your friends, wherever you work, practice that rejoicing because we have the good news, the great news of salvation, and it's been entrusted to us so that not only can we enjoy it, but that we can rejoice in it wherever we go and share the joy of that good news with everyone we meet.